Please be seated. It's a long gospel, and we'll stand for the latter part of the gospel, but you'll hear it better if you're seated.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden, into which he and his disciples entered. Judas the betrayer also knew the place, because Jesus often met them there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and Pharisees and went with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They answered him. He said to them,
"I am."
Judas's betrayer was also with them. And when he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So he asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They said,
"Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave to me?"
So the band of the soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guards seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was a father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better that one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So when the other disciple, acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in, the maid who was there at the gatekeeper said to Peter, He said,
"I am not."
Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold, and they were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there keeping warm. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus said to him,
"I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why ask me? Are those who heard me what I said to them? They know what I said."
When he said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said,
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm, and one of them said to him, he denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, Again, Peter denied it, and immediately the cock crowed. Then they brought Jesus before Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order not to be defiled so they could eat Passover. So Pilate came out and said to them,
"What charge do you bring against this man?"
They answered and said to him, At this, Pilate said to them,
Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law.
The Jews answered him, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, and that he said, indicating what kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him,
are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered,
do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?
Pilate answered,
I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?
Jesus answered,
my kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here.
So Pilate said to him,
then you are a king.
Jesus answered,
you say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice.
Pilate said to him,
what is truth?
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them,
I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?
They cried out again,
not this one, but Barabbas.
Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said,
hail, King of the Jews.
And they struck him repeatedly. Once more Pilate went out and said to them,
look, I am bringing him out to you, so that you may know that I find no guilt in him.
So Jesus came out, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple cloak. And he said to them,
behold the man.
When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out,
crucify him, crucify him.
Pilate said to them,
take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him.
The Jews answered, now when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus,
where are you from?
Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him,
do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you?
Jesus answered him,
you would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.
Consequently, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench in the place called the stone pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha, which was preparation day for Passover, and it was about noon. And Jesus said to the Jews,
behold your king.
They cried out, Pilate said to them,
shall I crucify your king?
The chief priests answered, then he handed them over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Now many of the Jews read this inscription because it was placed where Jesus was crucified near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took the tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top down. So they said to one another, in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and Mary's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said,
"I thirst."
There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in the wine on a sprig of hyssop, and they put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Please kneel. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was the day of the week, was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs, first of one and then on one of the other who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. As eyewitness has testified, and this testimony is true, he knows that he is speaking the truth. So what has come to believe? For this has happened so the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone will be broken. And again another passage says, they took him upon whom they had pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus. And Pilate permitted it. So he came and took the body. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to him at night, also came bearing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths along with spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now in a place where there had been crucified, there was also a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, which no one had been buried. They laid Jesus because it was a Jewish preparation day. For the tomb was close. The Gospel of the Lord.
As an act of mercy on Good Friday, I will keep my homily brief. Reading the Gospel of John today, you will notice that it does not say Jesus died. It said he bowed his head and he handed over his spirit. He handed over his spirit. The second remarkable thing about John's gospel is John tells us there were three women at the foot of the cross. The fidelity of women. The men disciples all abandoned Jesus, but the women were faithful. It's still probably true in the church today. The church is run by the women. They don't get recognition for it, but the church is run by the women. Look at the three women that were there, faith-filled, and in the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, there's a shrine to the three Marys, these three Marys, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the wife of Clopas, Mary, and Mary Magdalene. It's a tribute to the fidelity of the women who followed Jesus all the way to his death and, we'll read later, to his resurrection. Second thing that's important here is Jesus, John, by the way, the beloved disciple, following the distinguished scripture scholar Raymond Brown, he said, the beloved disciple is not a person. The beloved disciple is a symbol. Is a symbol of every faithful person that follows Jesus Christ. There's much discussion about who this beloved disciple was. Brown says, not a person. Each and every one of you, you're a beloved disciple. Not perfect, but beloved. And when he says to his brother, behold your son, she's the mother of the church, the mother of all believers, the mother of all faithful followers of Jesus Christ. It's the birthing in John's gospel of the church. Behold your son, you, me, the Blessed Mother. The sign of God's love among us. So let me mention a few words about the Blessed Mother. In 1495, Michelangelo was merely 25 years old, and he shaped and formed what is presumed to be his greatest art, piece of art, the Pietà, greater than his David in Florence. It's in St. Peter's Basilica. And here we have the mother of Jesus accepting the body of Jesus coming down from the cross. What's interesting about Michelangelo is that the mother of Jesus is larger than life size in the sculpture. So if she stood up, she'd be 9 feet tall. Now, Michelangelo had an artistic reason for doing this, to emphasize the power, the gift, the love of the Blessed Mother. But later on, various people interpreting this and finding a spiritual meaning believe this. The fact that the Mother is larger than life size is a sign that the love of the Mother is larger than life size. The love of the mother is always larger than life size. And this is the image of Mary. Since we have this extraordinary privilege, devotion to the Blessed Mother, it's good for us to keep in mind that the love of the Blessed Mother for us is larger than life size. More forgiving, more understanding, more responsive. So when we come to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus beginning today, with reflecting on his death and the teaching of it, and the presence of the Blessed Mother for each and every one of us, larger than life size, it's good for us to wrap into our prayer this sense of belonging to the Blessed Mother. Being one of the three women who are faithful, Mary Magdalene, who, if you read the Gospels, is imperfect. She is the faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. She will be the first, in the Gospel of John, she'll be the first to witness the resurrection. What a privilege. Therefore, it's a tribute to the women followers of Jesus Christ. It's also an invitation for us to look and to believe, following the example of the Blessed Mother. Amen.